Logan.
Yes.
Who is in your top five in your Spotify rap today?
It's Bad Snacks, who does like lo-fi. I listen to the music when I sleep and when I work. So every single year it's up there.
Yeah, makes sense.
I think it's Neck Deep, then The Main, then Bearings, and Paris is my last one. But it's Paris with a V.
I know of Paris, yeah. Very, very esoteric list. Like, I obviously know Neck Deep, I know Paris. I didn't know the other two, and obviously the lo-fi one. It's everyone loves to share their Spotify Wrapped, and I know some people get like really like, oh, nobody cares about your Spotify Wrapped. I think it's beautiful. I think it's great that everyone shares who their five favorite artists are, their favorite songs are, because then you can judge people because everyone just tells you what they like, so you can judge everyone for their music taste, and you can like, when you see people who share something similar to you, like, oh, this guy knows what they're talking about. This guy knows what they're talking about,
or at least is smart in that category about it. Like, you can go to me about pop punk bullshit, and I'll know that. But, like, if you try and talk to me about country shit, I have no authority.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody outside of America listens to country.
I'm convinced that not.
It's like an exclusively American thing.
I fucking hate country.
It's really weird.
You don't have to tell me twice.
One of my best friends I became friends with because I shared, like, I think I shared my Spotify Wrapped or something on Twitter. And I just met them that day, and they like followed me on Twitter. Like, holy shit, we share like the same music taste, and we would just share music with each other.
No, what's interesting?
Yeah,
what's interesting about my rap is not the top artists; it's that the top songs, with the sole exception of Bad Snacks, who again I listen to like the same three albums on repeat, is not artists that are on like the songs are not the artists.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I listened to to Shubies, Heavenly was my number one song, which is...
Oh, I used to love... Didn't Shubies change name?
Did they? I don't know.
They're now called The Haunting.
Yeah.
They're called The Haunting.
Well, I don't know if they're called The Haunting or there's another band called The Haunting that they've collaborated with a bunch, but...
I'm pretty sure they... Because... completely off topic. I used to adore a Shubies song called Violet.
Yeah.
Do you know Violet?
Yeah,
and The Haunting have recorded like lots of different versions of it.
I thought that they were just and both I'm pretty on sure it's the same song guys. Together.
I think maybe. I'm okay. I thought they changed
I'm
name.
Okay either way, but like Peachy and Heavenly were both on my list this year.
Yeah, I adore Violet. I think that song is incredible. There's like eight different versions.
Okay,
online.
I'm gonna have to go a little bit deeper in there. But Heavenly is one of my favorite songs this year. Same with Funeral Grey by Waterparks. Not in like the highest of artists, just happens to be there.
I think my top song was I'm only about 15 years late to the Arctic Monkeys. My top song this year was Teddy Picker by Arctic Monkeys.
I think you're really a couple years late. Just a couple.
Yeah, a little bit. I was too hipster to listen to Arctic Monkeys when they were hipster.
So now you're...
That's the problem. So now I'm now... I'm now getting into them. I should have just liked them when they were popular. Would have been easier. But my top artist was a rapper called Lunacy. And Cleopatra was second.
I think we've talked about Cleopatra Arctic Monkeys. before on this show.
Cleopatra. And Arctic Monkeys, Placebo, and Nothing But Thieves rounded out my top five, I think.
All right. Let's get into Counter-Strike bits here. We've got a show. We've got what we both hope is the end of roster moves. It won't be.
I'm telling you now.
Both of us know it won't be.
There's big roster moves still to be
made. But like we could hope. Let's rephrase this. This is our hope of the last full episode of roster moves before we get to.
We got Blast. We got Zhenxping. There's all sorts.
We did this whole podcast of like, oh yeah, we'll have two roster seasons of the year, and just since June has just every episode has just been, oh yeah, we're moving someone. Oh yeah, okay.
it's because there's no major in the second half of the year, so like everyone's just changed. Like anyone who's not in Blast World Final now
is changed.
What have they got to play
or
for?
If they're
and
in
those
Blast
who are just waiting till the end of it. Yeah.
anyone who's not in Blast World Final are changing their roster, and if they're in Blast World Final, they're still changing their roster.
They're gonna change it straight afterwards. Or, like FaZe, we know Twist is leaving.
I think there was a Well, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about world final rosters in the episode. But before we get into everything,
I think at least four of the world final rosters will be different by the next event.
And that's a good thing to note before we go into our intro music, which goes now and here. Welcome to Overtime on Inferno, your weekly roundup of all the biggest stories in CS2. My name is Logan. This is AZ Ask. As you heard before in our little intro, we have about a million roster moves. Again, I feel like I'm saying this every week. Okay.
It's good. It's good fun.
It is absolutely good fun. Okay. Let's start with the one that we knew was going to happen, but it's happened now. Let's start with Snappy and Saw, which I think Saw may have been a little bit of a surprise to some people, leaving Ents, and Cuban and Glaive joining.
I think it's a leak. I think Saw's, I've been told Saw is going to Heroic.
Instead of Exist? Or instead in addition to Exist?
Well, presumably instead. I don't know. I've heard that Heroic signing Saw, and that's why he's left.
That's an inch.
Snappy, as we all know, is going to.
That's interesting on a variety of levels, because Saw going to this, I guess Exist is Swedish, and they're an all Danish team anyway. So,
yeah. So they were speaking to the coach in English anyway. I think Saw is a very impressive coach from everything we know from the, obviously you can't know everything from the outside.
We have stated this on many occasions that coaches are coaches, and
but any coach who's snappy, trusts and is willing to work with for that long probably knows what they're talking about. And the Ents players have also, when they've spoken about Saw, been very complimentary.
Yeah. He's been on snappy teams. He's been on Ents since 2021, right? Some form. Snappy has not been here as long, but he's gone through a good chunk of IGLs on that team, and any of, like, they've all been pretty good IGLs.
Anyone who Snappy trusts, I would inherently trust as well. I think Saw's probably a very, very good coach. We know Snappy's a very good in-game leader. That is a big blow to Ents, and I don't think it'll be the last one.
Yeah, so let's talk about the other side of this. So we had been preparing mentally for Snappy to leave. So it shouldn't be a huge surprise to anyone that Snappy did leave. The Glaive thing kind of came up in the last week out of nowhere. Not like totally out of nowhere, but there was questions, and then it kind of seemed a little more secure, and then it happened. Mm-hmm. It's a different challenge for Glaive. So let's talk about this from the Glaive perspective, then from the Ents perspective, right? From the Glaive perspective, this is a different type of challenge. You proved you were one of the best IGLs in the world over a million years, right? Over like 3 or 4 years of dominance of Astralis just being that good. But you had the same roster minus one player for all of it, right? You had the little Kirby Magisk swap at the beginning. The question is, what can you do with new players? And they did that on Astralis for 5 minutes, right? When they did the no device, no Dupree, no Magisk lineups, and it was Glaive and Zip and some young'uns. The question is what can Glaive do with this team that Snappy built?
Yeah, so I have a couple of concerns with this move. One is that Glaive hasn't played in a while. We don't know what his individual level is. Two is that when he was the best in-game leader in the world, he was calling in Danish. He won't be calling in Danish on this team. And thirdly, Glaive innovated, or at least Astralis innovated, so heavily in 2017, 2018.
Yeah, I mean, they
now everyone plays like that.
Yeah. Astralis is the reason that we play Inferno the way that we do, right?
The reason we play every map like
Inferno people. And Vertigo off the top of my, and Nuke.
Nuke.
Off the top of my, like, Nuke, those three maps are, we still, everyone still the plays only team, the same way they do.
I think 2021 Na'Vi are the best Nuke team of all time. I think arguably the best team of all time as well. But I think they would have beaten Prime and Shardless. I think whatever.
But they changed the way we play.
I'm not sure that Glaive can do the same thing. Again, I don't think... I think... Maybe I'm completely wrong, and nobody... I can't see innovation before it happens. So maybe there are new innovations that can that he can come up with this time around, and he's going to completely change the game. But as soon as everyone was playing the same way as Astralis, Astralis were no longer... They didn't have that edge, yeah. And they were no longer just dominating. And I've often... you know, so we used to have like a allegory of IGLs as football managers, and mine for Glaive was always Arsene Wenger. Arsene Wenger basically was the first guy in English football to really take sports nutrition seriously and fitness seriously. So, you know, his players weren't just eating what they want, they weren't smoking, they weren't drinking, they were athletes. And they were so far ahead of everyone that on a relative shoestring budget, they were still the best team in the league. And then everyone caught up and did the same things. And Arsene Wenger didn't have the tactical depth to then
back it up,
be the best without, you know, genuine superstars. He was still a good manager, but he wasn't the best manager in the world like he was 15 years before. My worry is the same is going to be true of Glaive when everyone knows all this default utility, when everyone knows how to play around these smokes. Is Glaive still the same player? And I don't know if the answer is yes.
I do think though that if there was a time for innovation, it would be now. We have a new game.
Yeah.
We've played three events, and two of them won by phase, and the last one was won by Vitality. Right, you're mm-hmm. in a brand new game, in which first of all there's what. Two maps that have been totally redone, Overpass and Inferno, and there's definitely new stuff on both of them, and there's going to be new maps in the future and new redos of map. Like, there will be new stuff coming. Mm-hmm. If there was a time to say we're throwing everything out and starting it over again, now would be about the time I would do it.
That's true.
You're about to enter first CS2 major. This is the time to say we're throwing everything out. Let's start over. And if Glaive is able to do that, then this will be good in the end of the day. From an Ents perspective, there are very large shoes left by Snappy. He, from all we know, he made this team exactly in the way he wanted to make it.
Mm-hmm.
This team was always one of those, they are more than the sum of their parts. The question is, can Glaive get the same amount out of these players that Snappy got out of them?
Yeah.
And Cuban.
For all those concerns I just said. Yeah, well, yeah, and Cuban as well. For all those concerns I've just come up with, Glaive was still the IGL of one of, if not the greatest teams of all time. Yeah. And as a player at the time, was also one of the best players in the world.
Yeah. Like,
people almost underrate how good Glaive was as a player. Like, he was a star rifler on the best team in the world.
Glaive was an era defining player. The question is,
yeah,
and I don't know if I don't think he needs to be an era defining player on this team. I think he just needs to be a good. He's put in a very different position than he was put in on new bullshit Astralis. Right. I and regular Astralis for that matter. He's put in a very different position than he was on either version of Astralis. And so I think that maybe there is taking a load off of him, saying you don't have to be the star rifler. You have Madden, you have Diha. Maybe everything's a little bit better.
Yeah. The question is, how long do they have Madden, Diha, Nerds, and some pies?
These are very good questions.
There are rumors in the ether that all of those players have got or have had offers.
Yep.
In one case, Diha himself posted a kind of a cryptic meme. Obviously, you can't take shitposts that seriously, but he posted a meme where it's like a 2022 Ents, and it was like all five players, and then 2024 Ents, and it was just him, and all the others had left. And I think he was being serious, because they say that there are rumors that every Ents player has offers mm-hmm. from other teams. I don't, you know, a lot is made of Ents being sustainable and making and like making profit each year and not overspending. That means they don't pay their players that much. Other orgs might be willing to do so, let's say.
Yeah. We'll see what comes through, because there is a lot of talent on this team, and if they were really tied to the idea of Snappy as our IGL, then there may be other things coming here.
Who know? I mean, Falcons have three spots to fill.
And a lot of money.
And a lot of money. And if Snappy says, get me nerds,
they'll get...
Or get me Sun Pius.
I don't think they'll say, get me nerds. I feel like that may be the only player, and that has to do with geopolitical issues.
Yeah, sorry, I just genuinely didn't click. But if he says, get me Sun Pius...
Sun Pius will be there.
Sun Pius, yeah. And I think, actually, I'm sort of throwing that out there. Is there a better AWPer than Sun Pius Falcons can get? I mean, I know... Or there's rumors they're still trying for Zai Wu and for Modesty. Yep. There are rumors they are asking Vitality how much money for Zai Wu, asking G2 how much money for Modesty. I don't know or think either will come off. I don't know if either will come off. I suspect either will come off. It doesn't make any sense to me for Vitality to sell Zai Wu for almost any price.
I mean, the answer is it would have to be the greatest bench player of all time. Simple could theoretically maybe be available.
He could. I think Simple will take some time
I
out.
I think
first,
that's true.
And I think he should, because it doesn't seem like he's enjoying the game.
I'm going to be honest. I'm not convinced that this Falcons roster is going to exist much before the major anyway. I think they'll be announced like 3 days before.
They'll get something.
No, they'll be announced they'll like 3 days before the major, and that will be it.
They only need two players, right? They've got Boros, Magisk, and Snappy.
Yes.
So they need an AWPer and they need...
A Star Rifler.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah. The roles on this team are going to be weird, but the thing is, when you have Magisk, it kind of doesn't matter. Because Magisk can do anything.
He's the role chameleon. I was going to say,
such a blessing.
This team needs one more of those players, which unfortunately they won't get.
It sort of doesn't, because you could have Snappy as like your small site anchor,
or
get a superstar to be like big site anchor.
We've gone over this a couple times, that there are very few Magisk players in the world. That it's like,
but that's because Magisk is ridiculous.
It's Magisk, Shush, and Twists. I think that was the list we came up with.
And maybe Mezzy, maybe.
I'm not there yet.
Mezzy can do everything.
Not there yet, but we're close.
No, he isn't quite there yet, because I don't think he has the big team experience and the big stage experience.
He's looking to get it right now.
But, well, quite, yeah. He'll get it very quickly, and we'll see if he's really about that life. But in terms of his versatility, his ability to make the right decision, and his just phenomenal mechanics, Mezzy is as close sort of mechanically as you'll get to a Twist Magisk type player, because he's done his time as a role player on Cloud9. He's done his time as an in-game leader on Fnatic, and he's played all sorts of roles for Fnatic. He has been a Star Rifler on both Fnatic and Endpoint. He knows how to do everything. It's just about whether he can consistently do it in big moments. And that is really what sets Magisk and Twists apart, is they are big time players. Magisk steps up when the chips are down or the game is even. Magisk is him. He's ridiculous at it. He's so good. You could make Magisk the Star Rifler of this team and they would still be world class.
Yep.
Like, you could sign like two nobodies to be like role players and have Magisk be the superstar, and I that team would probably still be top 10. Magisk is that good. He's ridiculous.
All right, let's get back to talking about actual roster moves we know can happen, because we don't know what the fuck's happening with Falcons. They have too much money and not enough players, and that's about where we can leave it right now.
They'll get enough players.
Oh, they will. Let's talk about Astralis for a minute. So the Yabby Stown thing went through. It's happened. Borup and Buzz are no longer with the team. I don't know how to think about this. Like,
I tell you what I think about this. I don't know who plays where. Staun and Blame F are like the same player, yep. Except Blame F is probably a bit better. They're both like trade frag. I mean, I suspect Blame F will go back to like passive lurking. Staun will be a pack rifler. Yabby will be like the aggressive lurk. And
Stare
will be the like aggro entry guy.
I don't know. We'll see them at BetBoom Dacha?
Yeah.
Whatever.
We'll see them at the
BetBoom thing that's happening in a week. That's the precursor to Blast World Global Finals the 3rd.
I will be there no matter what.
I mostly just wanted to point out that Astralis had actually made the move. Because we've talked about this a bunch.
Their announcement picture is cold, by the way. Really cool picture.
No, you know what the best picture that came from the Astralis roster thing? Is the TLDR thing that we put in the newsletter this last weekend of Woody being thrown down. That was great. That was perfect. Okay, let's talk about some rosters that we haven't talked about in a bit. We talked about NRG recently and said that they were going to add OC and Daps was going to be a player. And then we said that there's 3 other spots and we don't know who's going there. And we took some ideas.
Yeah.
We were wrong.
I think Automatic came out and said he wanted to take a couple months before the end of his contract on EG to really get in shape. Not physically, mentally. Like in shape in the game, you know, be ready.
So who's joining OC and Daps on NRG? Breeze, Hexed, and Fang.
Yeah, I don't like it.
So I'm okay with Breeze. I'm okay with Breezy. There's a bit I can get behind that. I'm not totally there, but like NA, there's some amount of like it's Breezy, fine. I have to talk about their announcement video in a minute, but let's talk about the players first. Hexed, I'm not sure on. I am
so of the 3, I'm more enthused about Hexed than the other 2.
Okay, here's my problem. Assuming that Evil Geniuses is blowing up, okay.
Given half the squad's gone,
everything that we've heard says this is happening, and then there was some stuff about I think Ryan came out and said that there wasn't there yet, but that he was waiting on confirmation for them or something, or they're not there yet. But assuming EG is blowing up, why not grab George?
Yeah, so George has been slightly underwhelming after the move to EG.
I agree.
I think is probably, yeah. And I think, if I remember rightly, there were some concerns over his, initially, I don't know if he's still, he didn't communicate well. He was quite quiet. Mm. I imagine spending time with EG, he's got a lot better at that. But I think he's actually struggled since joining EG. And then there's a belief in NA that Hexed is probably better than most people outside of NA think he is. I don't know. A lot of Americans seem to think Hexed is quite good. I don't think he's particularly good, but I might be wrong. But at least he's young.
I keep hearing that too. And I also I don't see it. Like I've watched a lot of EG games, and I watched Hexed when he was on RBG beforehand, right? Because that's where he came from. He came from EG Black, which used to be RBG. I had casted a game of theirs. Like I've seen a good chunk of Hex. He's fine.
Yeah, he sort of mechanically passes the eye test, sort of. If you know what I mean. Like his aim when you watch it is actually kind of decent. It's just I don't think he makes the right decisions all that often. Maybe, but the thing is, if anyone in North America can coach a good player out of a like decent mechanical player who is willing to learn, it is Daps. Yeah. Like, so Daps has made a career of turning okay players into good ones, and that's why I kind of like the Hex moves.
So how long are we giving this roster until they add Stanislaw?
3 weeks. Now, I think I would have preferred, if you're going to have Daps, I would have preferred to have two younger players over Breezy. Yeah. And,
So okay, let's be clear. OC, good move. We're in on OC.
OC's, yeah. Oh. I mean, OC's the best AWPer in the region.
OC may be the best available player in the region, regardless of AWPer,
almost.
OC's the best available player in the region. I think Automatic's the second best, but if Automatic doesn't want to join for right now, OC's the best player in the region. I think past that point, you start to run into IGL issues, as you always do in America. Mm-hmm. You're quick,
which is why Daps makes sense,
even though he is not mechanically good enough to be a tier one player. Makes sense. And OC and Daps have some amount of knowledge together. They worked on Liquid for the last year. Mm-hmm. Past that point, you're starting to scrape the barrel. I mean, Breezy was great.
Do you know who would be pretty solid for this team and you could probably get for quite cheap? Markey. Always liked Markey.
Markey's playing for now, and I think he's played with OC before in Extra Salt.
Yeah, he has, yeah. And I don't know what Noun's salary is like. I will say Nouns are actually doing quite well and they're going to some events, but Markey is quite clearly like a standout. Like, Jean Chaping, Markey was quite clearly there.
Yeah, so I want to actually...
And he's always...
I want to talk about Extra Salt for a minute because it makes sense. Things are making some sort of sense here with Fang. Because that's the one player we haven't really talked about. Fang and OC used to play on Extra Salt together, and I know that there have been some amount of Fang issues with teams.
It's just a shame because he's a good player.
Maybe the thought is that a newer scenery here will help him out a little bit.
I think so. I think Daps is the kind of guy who won't stand for any shit and will get the best out of talented but Quicksilver guys.
I'm in for this roster for summertime next year. This roster won't...
I don't love the Breezy signing.
So here's the thing, right? The core of Daps and OC plus Coach and Fang, for that matter, I'm in on. Right?
Yeah.
Even if Daps moves to Coach and they bring in an IGL, I like OC and Fang enough that I'm in on this. I think they will make moves. I don't think they're going to qualify for the major. I think they'll make moves around this to become a better team leading into summer next year. And I think that's when we'll see this roster actually be a good roster in North America. I do need to qualify the in North America because I still don't think this roster will be able to compete across the world. But
of course,
right. And NRG has money.
No North American roster that doesn't have Elige and or Twist will ever compete. At the moment. I shouldn't say ever because there will be new talent coming.
This is a roster that also has money behind it. It's a different type of money, right? Than the like M80 roster, which has M80 money, which is different than the Nouns roster, which has Nouns money, than EG, which doesn't have money. This is more towards a Liquid than it is otherwise, right? Nouns has actual money. Mm-hmm. They have actual people that, not Nouns. NRG has actual money and actual people. They have an LCS spot. They're obviously investing in North America. They wanted this to be an NA team. They bought an LCS. So they have money to be here and stay here, so I do not see a reason that they will not try to get better and spend money to get better. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see what they do with this roster, though I do not expect it to be together for more than 5 months.
I think if Breezy doesn't like suddenly just become good again, I think you just have to get rid of it. Like, I think you have to be willing to dump Breezy quickly.
So we need to talk about one more thing with this, which is their intro video that they made. So did you watch this video at all or no?
I did.
Okay, so it's Sapnap, who's one of their creators, talking to Andy Miller, who's the CEO. And he's like, oh, I want all these things. I want all these things. And now I want a CS2 team. And they start going through the highlights of the players. And I've realized one thing. I've only ever seen good plays from any of these players on Inferno.
Interesting.
Breezy had his little pistol ace in the back of Inferno.
Oh no, Breezy used to be a demon on Overpass.
But no.
No, he's got clips on Overpass.
And I believe that. And they showed a couple of them. But they only showed Overpass and Inferno in this entire highlight video. And I'm just sitting here going, well, I hope they play Overpass and Inferno, because from this I can only tell that they suck at every other map.
Yeah.
Like Fang had one.
All NA teams play Mirage.
Fang had one highlight on Nuke. Okay. I guess Nuke's in the map. No, but like you run through these and it's just like the highlights. I expect
Did Liquid play Nuke?
Liquid played Nuke with Fallen.
But I don't think of Liquid as ever really being a Nuke team.
I don't think they ever played Nuke with Yukinder. I think Nuke was their perma.
Yeah, I think they might continue that, because I'm not sure. I can't remember ever seeing OC or Daps, for that matter, play on Nuke.
Yeah, NRG recently. Will continue that. I don't think that new form Liquid will continue that.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. There's no way a team with a Danish in-game leader won't play
a Danish Nuke. In-game leader and Twists.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Let's talk.
All Danes love Nuke. Not as much as Finns, but they love Nuke.
Let's talk about Fnatic. So we had said that they've given up on their old roster, and by giving up, Dexter got benched. They were all over the place, and Mezzi went over to Vitality, and well, we've got new players.
They also cut Dexter, which was surprising.
I mean, honestly, props to them. They did it in what, a third of the time it took Mouse to do it.
It's not that I hate the decision. It's just like, if you weren't willing to commit to him, why did you sign him in the first place? Like, you got exactly the Dexter you thought you were getting.
All right, so
or at least I thought you were getting.
So as per usual, with this roster, Crims has stayed on. Which I think is hilarious. The HLTV thing for time on team is like 2 days, 2 days, 2 days, 4 months, 7 years. And the 7 years is
7 years as well in esports is like, well, 49
but it's not
years
even 7 years is the funny bit. It's he went to God Sent for like 5 months in 2016, and then but before that he was on Fnatic for another 2 years, so it really should be like 9 years. Hilarious.
They say 1 year in esports is like 7 years in human years.
Crims is still incredible, so they're keeping Crims, and they keep Afro, who they just signed recently, a couple months ago, who has been okay. I wouldn't say he's been...
Afro's been pretty good, actually. He's been better than I thought. I think he's been very solid. Like, when they've played against Tier 1 opposition, he has regularly been their best player.
Okay. So they've added a trio of three players. So they've added Mattis, who's from Sambi...
Yeah, he's from Czech Republic, right? So.
Sampi, yes. The Sampi, Czech roster that just kind of has had players on it. It hasn't...
Oh, no, he's actually Slovakian.
He's Slovakian. I think he played with...
From what I gather, he's meant to be the next big thing. He's meant to be really good.
Yeah.
I've not seen much of him, but he's meant to be...
I heard that he was very good. QB, who's from Sangal...
He was on Sangal, I think.
Yeah, he was on Sangal, but he's supposed to be the next big thing in German prospects.
Yeah.
And Body, who is definitely not the next big French prospect, but
is actually like very underrated player, Body. For a long time, he's been a very underrated. He was genuinely very good on G2.
Yeah.
When he was there. And okay, he had a bit of a fall off, but for a while he was very good. He had a bit of a fall off and he played for other French teams, and he's been really good for a while. On like,
I mean, he's
Double Pony.
He was the reason Double Pony existed. He was the reason he got picked up. He played for Falcons for a bit. Apparently, he was on Into the Breach for 3 days, which is just honestly a hilarious footnote.
I think he was standing in. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, well, it officially counts him as a team on HLTV, which is funny. But he's getting the call up once again to a tier one team, and he probably deserves it because he was pretty good on G2.
He's always been Body.
He's been great.
Good player. Very good player, Body. Good fundamentals. Doesn't make many mistakes positionally.
And he gets...
He's selfless, but can frag as a star as well. He's just a good player. And I think he in-game leads as well.
And he gets reunited with Afro. yeah, which I think is a big deal, dude.
Low key, I kind of like these moves. I like the gamble on Matisse.
Yep,
it's quite an expensive gamble, but that's what they cost now. I think it was like 150,000.
But so Fnatic came out and they were talking about why they did this roster. Hold up, let me find the.
Basically, there was a lot of people who wanted them to build a Swedish team with Hampus and Brolin, yeah, because that's gone so well in the past. I do not understand this push for Fnatic to be a Swedish team. So, yeah, I understand they used to be Swedish, but they used to be good Swedish players, which is why they built a Swedish team. There were not enough good Swedish players to build a Swedish team.
They also used to be British, and that's not there anymore.
Well, the org is England. Yeah, the org is based in London. Like, if anything, they should build an English roster, and it would probably be about as good as a good Swedish roster. If you had the five best English players and the five best Swedish players, there's probably not that much difference in it nowadays.
No, there probably is, because I don't know who the best Swedish player is, but the best English player is Messi, and Messi's very good.
Yeah. Yeah, Messi would be the best player in Sweden.
Oh, yeah. So the English team wins, but that's neither here nor there. Okay, so they're bringing all these players in. So the interesting thing, I'm in on this roster. I like it. I have questions about it qualifying for the major.
Yes, but I think those questions exist for every team.
They don't exist for us.
Every team but FaZe and Vitality.
Yeah, actually, I guess that's a good point. And you know what?
And Complexity. Complexity will qualify for the major.
Afro, Crims, and Body, I have full faith in to do what they want.
we obviously haven't seen Matisse and QB at this level. We don't know exactly how the role is going to work on this team. But
on the other hand, who cares?
There is talent on this team. Like, undeniably, the talent on this team is there. And I think I personally like that they have not gone for a Swedish team for brand value
or recycled the same 17 players.
Exactly. They've gambled. They've gone, okay, we're not going to be able to afford the best players in the world, and the best players in the world are not going to want to join us. What we have to do is identify the next superstars. QB is 18. He's like, I haven't watched enough of him to know how good he is. I haven't watched enough of Matisse either. But Fnatic have probably watched enough of them, and they've gone, yeah, we think these guys have potential to be at this level. We're going to build a core of like decently experienced players. Afro now has played at this level for a little while, clearly looks at home. Body is experienced. He's a leader and a good role player in pretty much any role. They're not going to find many more experienced or who know what they're doing, who understand the game quite as much as Crims. Like, these two players have so much experience to draw on and to learn from, and they should have space to perform, because I don't think Crims will probably get some of his roles, but Body is probably going to not be a star Crims on this team. They're probably going to give Matisse some roles and some
Crims
space.
Has been on this team for 9 years, not because he can't perform. Like, he can absolutely... Yeah. Crims will do Crims things and we'll all be okay and happy with it.
Yeah. I'm cautiously optimistic about this roster.
All right, let's talk about a roster that we have no clue what the fuck's going on with. And I think this is our last roster for today.
There could be a lot of them.
Kasada is joining an organization called Bleed Esports. Okay, you may not have heard of them, which makes sense because they're a Valorant-only organization right now. Though you may have heard of some of the players on the Valorant roster, specifically their head coach, Legia, former big player, and their...
Who I've been told I look like in the past.
And they're like multi-million dollar upper yay of...
God.
About every single NA team fame.
Yeah, he was on Cloud9, I think, most famously.
He was also... But was he? He was on.
When Cloud9 signed the Extra Soul roster, right?
No.
Did he not?
That was OC.
Yeah, he wasn't an AWPer in CS.
Yeah, no, he wasn't on that roster either.
Oh yeah, he played versus Cloud9 in his final games, apparently.
But no, he was definitely not on.
Oh, okay. I thought he was. was he on Cloud9 in Valorant?
He was on Complexity pre Juggernaut, I believe.
He was oh, so yeah, that's where I knew him from. Yeah, because he played with Shazam.
Yeah, pre-Juggernaut Complexity was his big bit.
Yeah.
Then he moved over to Valorant. Okay, so the reason we're talking about this team is because this team is a team from Singapore. Okay. Lead is a Singaporean organization. Their roster, other than Ye in Valorant, is from Thailand and Singapore and Vietnam. And they're joining into Counter-Strike. We have no clue, and I seriously mean this, no clue.
Yeah, what, literally no what, idea what team they're building.
No, what team? What region? I have nothing.
This could be glorious or it could be awful, and I have no idea. But, I'm hoping they build like an NKT-style roster, like something insane.
So, from what I have heard, Bleed actually has some amount of money because they had to pay for Ye, who was playing for Cloud9. No, he was playing for Optic, which turned into Envy, or Envy, which turned into Optic in Valorant. And he had some sort of payout. I think he was able to play on Disguised Toast's team for like 5 minutes without having to do the buyout, which was a weird team with Steel. And now he's over there. So they have some amount of money to pay for Ye. So they'll have some money. And from a Valorant perspective, Scary, who is also on this roster, is a very, very good player. Who comes from Xerxia, and he also probably had to be paid a good chunk. So they have some money. I don't know what the fuck they do.
They also, I don't think Kassad would be cheap as a coach.
I cannot believe, I would not believe that Kassad would be willing to jump away from his,
analyst job. That's what I mean.
Like, unless there was a real, either they had ideas for players. They have something.
Either he will continue to be working as an analyst while he's... Is he the GM of this team?
He's the head coach.
Okay. So in that case, he probably won't have a lot of time to be on analyst there, which means he's probably getting paid a decent chunk, because analyst work is well paid. It's a difficult role to stand out in, because... it's a job that is in high demand, and the pay for it is very good. You wouldn't give that up if you didn't believe this roster was A, going to be good, and B, you were going to be paid.
Yeah.
So Bleed are probably looking to invest. So, but I don't know who they're going to possibly sign. Like, I have no idea.
He said, I want the players to fit together perfectly, regardless of the region. He's looking for offers and stuff. They want to have a European-based squad. They'll be based in Europe. Being based in Europe doesn't necessarily mean that we will sign 5 EU players, but the core will be European for now. The problem is we have no, like, there, I, we've said it 4 times, no fucking clue anything about this. This is like mini Falcons to a degree, the way that Falcons came in and just slapped their wallet on the ground and said we're going. This is a smaller, more tame version of that.
This is they've taken the wallet out of the pocket and rested it on the table and said,
isn't as fat as the Saudi government.
It's just resting on the table. It's not slammed down. It's just sort of like placed there. It's in vision, so you can see that they're making a point with it, but they're not like throwing it around.
Yeah, I'd say that signing Kassad is like signing Mini Zonic. That seems reasonable.
Sure, why not? He's smaller than Zonic.
In analogy, they both have beards. Analogy works.
There's one more small Rust move I'd like to... Not really a Rust move. For Blast World Final, Salazar is standing in for Heroic.
Yeah, he's been playing for Ecstatic, which is Zypool's org.
I don't think Salazar's particularly good. Maybe he's got better since I watched him. Last time I watched him, I didn't really think he was that good. So, maybe I'm underestimating him. Maybe he's better than I thought. I thought he was kind of mediocre on an Ecstatic team that was very much more than the sum of its parts. I don't think the individual parts were that good. It's why I liked Manx so much going to M80, is because I thought he had that team performing above their level, because I don't think Salazar is that good. Again, willing to be proven wrong. Maybe being on this Heroic team will help, but I don't think he's that good.
Oh, sorry.
I'd be worried for Heroic.
We've got another one too. I forgot about this one.
Oh, we do?
So... okay, this is a small one, and we'll talk about it for 2 seconds. Martinez from Movistar Riders is joining 9Z, who have like been slowly amassing just like decently good South American players.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the whole bit. Like, they lost Tri, but they benched.
Yeah, they found the next best Spanish-speaking AWPer, I imagine.
apparently.
Other than Sun Pius, who you're not going to get.
So that roster is a little intense, and I'm excited for it because it's fun and weird. Okay, let's talk about Buzzfall Final for like 30 seconds because an event did happen.
Yeah, we are running out of time. You've got to go back to work.
Yeah, soon. An event did happen. So it was a Vitality Phase Final. We all said that was going to happen. Some amount of math went around that I think Cloud9 got into the...
We covered it last week.
There's some...
We covered the...
We need a Foldy sheet for Blast events.
It was actually quite simple. I just can't remember which team was ready. I know Complexity had to win it. I think NIP had to win it as well.
Yeah, it has to
qualify. And it was like between C9 and somebody else.
C9 and Complexity... I think it was.
No, somebody else. I can't remember.
Astralis?
Regardless, C9 qualified.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it might have been Astralis.
So, regardless.
Because Astralis aren't at World Final.
Very good. Good event. Enjoyable to watch. Vitality and FaZe. Both very good at CS2. Flames is very good at CS2.
It turns out aggro riflers.
Really good.
Really good at CS2. Who would have thought?
I don't have much more than that to say. I mean, like, the event was good. Like,
yeah. I was working ESL Jönköping, and we had 2 days that ran. So I started the day at 6 a.m. The first game was at 8 a.m. We finished after full final finished, which started at 4 p.m.
Yeah.
I think the grand final in Jönköping started after the final and full final had finished. Jesus. It was meant to start 2 hours before.
Jesus.
It was a long day. The Friday was a long day as well.
So. The other thing...
But Jönköping, Monty won, which was fun.
The other thing I want to point out is Complexity are still very good at CS2. They are...
I mean, Alesia's like one of the best players in the world again.
They are very, very good. Like, there is...
Yeah.
So, somehow an NA team has figured out how to be good again, and they're good.
It happens at the start of every esport.
I guess.
NA teams are good at the start, and then they fall off.
Complexity's on a tear right now, and they seem to be hungry. They want to win.
Mm-hmm.
I
like, again, Elijah's one of the best players in the world.
He's so good right now. He's gone back to like 2018 form.
Yeah, he's frying at the moment.
He's so good. All right, let's end this show right now. You can make sure
that's it.
You can make sure to follow us on at AZask, at Logan Ramp, and at ReadTLDR online. We'll be back again next week. Yeah, I gotta make some plans, but we'll be back again next week. We'll talk about what's gonna happen at Blast Global Final, and See y'all.